Hello there, thank you for tuning in. Welcome to the eLearning Champion Pod. My name is Sherna and I'll be your host for this podcast. We were amazed to hear your responses and feedback on our previous episodes. Thank you so much for your appreciation. Keeping that in mind, we're back with a new podcast today. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome again. This is the eLearning Champion Pod, your home to everything e-learning. Here, we discuss the ins and outs of e-learning, learning technologies, and the latest e-learning trends around the corporate training landscape. Your success matters to us, and that's why we bring you what matters to you. For our third podcast, we'll be talking about leveraging AI-enabled blended learning for rapid employee upskilling and reskilling. We have Shalini Merku joining us. Welcome back, Shalini. It's great to have you again.
Thanks, Sherna. Looking forward.
So before we start, I'd like to give a quick intro to all our listeners about Shalini. Shalini is a versatile learning design professional with over 16 years of experience in instructional design, including instructor-led training, virtual instructor-led training, and e-learning. She's an expert in customer training, consulting, designing, learning, and user assistance solutions. She's got a diverse experience in this domain, and that is exactly why she's the best fit to talk on a topic like this. So let's start with the first question. The focus in today's podcast is on blending learning using AI. Because AI seems to be the latest disruption in the L&D space. What are your thoughts on this, Shalini?
Yeah, thanks, Sherna. That really seems to be the hot topic of the day. AI is everywhere. And I'll begin with the blended learning part of today's discussion. I'm sure most of our listeners would agree that blended learning is the way forward because there's no one delivery methodology which will solve all our training problems. So we do need to blend digital learning with classroom learning. We need to blend it with job aids and other avatars of digital learning, such as micro-learning. So today, L&D professionals are really empowered, and we have a number of tools in our basket, so to speak. So we can mix and match, and that is what blended learning is all about. And with AI, it becomes more interesting and easier to mix and match and bring out the best blend for your particular training requirement and your specific learning audience. I'd like to set the stage by very briefly touching on one of the trends that we can predict will continue well into 2024 and beyond, which is of upskilling and reskilling. Because really, that's the most critical need of the hour, regardless of the industry you're in or the domain you're in. And that is something that we've been repeatedly hearing from our customers as well. So it provides the broader context of why blended solutions matter and how we can harness AI for developing them. I'd like to share an interesting statistic from the Future of Work Report 2023 by the World Economic Forum. It says that 44% of workers' core skills are expected to change in the next 5 years. So while we may be ready for the now, we won't be ready for the future unless we make plans to upskill and future-proof ourselves and our organizations.
Right.
Here's another stat. Yeah. So, you know, it even applies to us when we think of where we are in terms of our current skill sets. Think, you know, fast forward to 5 years down the line and we'll need an entirely new set of skills to supplement what we already know. So here's another interesting stat. 6 in 10 workers will require training before 2027. But only half of them have access to adequate training opportunities. So that is quite mind-boggling, you know, because think of it in terms of a team size of 10. So 6 out of those 10 require training, but only half of them, that is only 3 of them, seem to have access to adequate training opportunities, which means that 3 people out of 10 may not have the required skills because of lack of access. So when you think of it in the context of just not just individual performance, but also in the context of, you know, what we hope to achieve through high performing teams, then the impact is huge. So this is something, you know, we probably need to constantly keep track of, and 82% companies recognize the need to upskill and reskill and plan to invest in this. So this is where L&D has a very critical role to play in making sure that businesses and organizations, you know, we all retain our competitive edge by having our workforce that is ready with updated skills. I'm sure all of us have come across industry reports in various domains about there being a mismatch between training supply and the demand. And sometimes that, yeah, sometimes that comes as a surprise, and sometimes maybe not so much as a surprise, because while everybody's really working hard to make sure that our organizations have the required training and that our people are signed up for the exact learning experiences that they need, but at the end of the day, how effective are our learning interventions, and what is the actual demand, and are we as an L&D function really meeting it? And then, of course, there are other things happening, you know, which have changed the face of L&D, changed the face of how we work. Emerging technologies like generative AI, they've really reshaped the workforce. What worked yesterday doesn't work today. And most organizations are now putting in place plans to really stay ahead of the game when it comes to even the latest technology and innovations, especially in the field of AI and how these can be harnessed. And speaking in our context of L&D, you know, how can we harness these to make sure that we give robust, holistic, impactful solutions? To continue further on this, you know, for most organizations, artificial intelligence and big data are among the top 10 priorities. So even if organizations are not equipping their workforce in a very formal way, in certain areas, we find that employees are going out there and equipping themselves. And of course, the flip side is, you know, when an employee who feels that they are not being equipped well enough would look for other opportunities, and there'll be a crisis of people leaving the organization. So these are some areas where we really need to be supporting our business in. You know, how do we ensure that we are really indeed providing adequate opportunities and meaningful, relevant learning experiences.
Right. Yeah, I agree. There is an increased emphasis on upskilling and reskilling. And we've been hearing a lot about skills that organizations are focusing on, including AI and big data. Can you share something on the core skills that employers are looking for? What are some of the key future skills that have been occupying the center stage, you know, over the last 2-3 years, the trends that you might have seen?
Right. Yeah, that's really an important question, Shaina, because I'm sure a lot of us are asking ourselves the same question. What are the top 10 skills on the rise? And once again, I'd like to reference the Future of Work report, because not just because, you know, it's a respectable source, but because we've seen similar trends in our own work with our customers in terms of their training requirements. So the kind of training, you know, topics that we are dealing with from our diverse customers spread across so many countries is kind of reinforcing and validating what we've seen in the report as well. So right. I'd like to just share, what are the top 10 skills? Again, they're bucketed into certain groups. So under cognitive skills, we have creative thinking, which is in high demand, analytical thinking. Under technology, you have technological literacy, AI and big data. And then under self-efficacy skills, you have curiosity, lifelong learning, resilience, flexibility and agility, and also motivation and self-awareness. So agility, again, is a huge thing because, you know, with the rapid way in which our world is changing, work environment is changing, learning agility really is something that employers are looking for, organizations are looking for. And then you have system thinking, which, again, you know, is looking beyond individual separate parts and looking at the whole and looking at solutions from multiple perspectives. And that, again, involves working with others. And then there is talent management, work and working with customers and working with others in terms of, you know, service orientation, customer service, and so on. Of course, these 10 skills have been listed in the Future of Work report. And depending on your organization, there could be other skills which really are there at the forefront. But at a very high level, these are the skills that are seen to be in great demand increasingly over the last 2 years, and especially right. now.
Right. Yeah. Pretty much they are in focus and trending on social media, if we notice.
Right, right.
It's very interesting. Now, coming to blended learning, you mentioned that it is going to be the way forward to meet the demand, especially for upskilling and reskilling. What are your thoughts about why blended learning works and how does it fit in into the overall learning strategy?
Yeah, sure, Shreena. I'll be glad to do that. I think we all know for sure that there's no one-size-fits-all approach. We are at a very interesting point in time. We have a multi-generational workforce. Gen Z, Gen X, Gen Y, millennials.
Yes. Yeah.
And all of them have certain learning preferences. And we have an increasing number of delivery formats available, an increasing number of platforms available. So it is very, we are in a good place in the sense that we can really leverage these powerfully to make sure that whatever learning experiences that we are creating for our learners resonate with them and that they are personalized to learners. Now, blended learning is not a new concept. I think we've all been using it for years now.
Right,
but yes. Why it continues to occupy center stages? Because it really is the best way to address learning as a continuous process and not as a one-off standalone event. And with blended learning, we can truly ensure that at every stage in the learning journey, our learners are supported with the required learning interventions or with the required learning resources. I'd also like to mention another factor that has a bearing on the popularity and effectiveness of blended learning. The 70-20-10 model, for those new to it, it's a widely accepted framework in the training profession, which outlines how people learn. So to be successful in our learning initiatives, we need to utilize this 70-20-10 model more deliberately, although we've all been doing this to some degree. For those new to it, this 70% refers to learning happening on the job, 20% refers to learning happening through social or peer learning, and 10% refers to a learning through formal training. Now, these are just rough guidelines, and I'm sure the exact percentages vary from organization to organization. But we have also begun to notice, even in our own interactions with our customers, that there is an increasing shift to really roll out more formal training. And in fact, it has gone up by a huge 10%. And also, L&D functions are looking for opportunities to integrate the 20, the 70, these other aspects into the learners' learning journeys. So I think we've gone much beyond just focusing on the 10%. And now we are trying to provide a seamless integration between this and on-the-job learning and the social part learning, which could be a team-based kind of learning or learning in a community of practice, either within our organization or outside of our organization. And what is interesting is there's more seamless learner engagement happening across multiple channels.
Right.
So, a lot of these learning interventions provide a continuous learning path with multiple touch points for learners to engage with each other and to engage with mentors and to engage with industry experts. And again, when it comes to formal learning, we have e-learnings, we have ILTs, VLTs being repurposed, making them available as e-learnings by, chunking them up into relevant pieces, adding the required engagements, interactivities, assessments, and so on. And the templates and the temp PDFs, team activity PDFs, all of which make, the blended, the formal training aspect really by default, a kind of a blended solution.
Right. So I think the main advantages of a blended solution are that it basically combines the best of both digital and traditional approaches. Like classroom training, and the advantages are the digital formats that really enhance learner engagement. They are more accessible.
Yes, you're right, Shreena. And also they're very flexible because, they're typically asynchronous. They're asynchronous, so learners can take them at their own convenience. Now, when you blend this with a powerful format of a classroom-led session or a virtual instructor-led session, then you have a very powerful blend which leverages the strengths of each medium and makes sure that, you know, the content that lends itself best to a given format is put into that given format. So basically, we really need to step back before jumping into designing the blend. We need to go through the rigor of seeing what is the kind of content we're dealing with, what kind of audience do we have, or rather learners do we have, what kind of a learning environment do we have, does it support the kind of blend that I'm trying to put together. So in that sense, there are some things, you know, that we need to watch out for. One thing I'd like to mention here is that, you know, in the context of blended learning is the flipped classroom, which has become increasingly popular.
Right.
So yeah. I think we all recall those days when we would first start with the classroom session, and those, you know, who are from a training background, you would recall this. We would begin our instructor-led training and then give our learners self-study materials. But that is not the best use of face-to-face time. So the flipped classroom is something that helps you to leverage the classroom time to optimal advantage. So we make sure that the self-study happens before people meet together face-to-face. And of course, we can do that through e-learning, through video recordings, through all kinds of digital learnings. And just a quick question for reflection. How can we use the flipped classroom model better, you know, in the context of our blended solution, while leveraging this, with this moment of need kind of a training approach? Right. So that is something we can think about. And see how best we can support our learners at their moment of need by using this this kind of a framework.
Right. Yes. Flipped classroom is very popular right now. So
yeah.
Similarly, what are the most popular blended formats that are trending in customers and people around? So would you be able to share an example or two of a blended solution?
Sure, Shreena. So I think all our listeners are familiar with micro-learning, video-based learning, interactive simulations, online reading materials, and increasingly podcasts and audio lessons. And of course, we also have virtual reality and augmented reality. There's a big buzz around it, of course. And unfortunately, many organizations don't have the budgets to support that kind of a format. But what is heartening is that we can achieve the same outcomes in a lot of cases through just sound instruction design and by making the best use of these other formats that are available. And of course, we have webinars and virtual classes. So these are just some formats that we can mix in our blend. Now, what is the big advantage of using these multiple formats? Well, as I mentioned, you know, they cater to diverse learning preferences. And increasingly, we are seeing that because it's so easy to repurpose content nowadays with the technology that's available, and incidentally, a lot of it is AI-driven, it's very easy to roll out the same content in multiple formats so that, you know, learners truly have a choice in accessing learning experiences in the format they prefer. And then you have flexibility for different schedules. So that's another reason why a blend really works well. And there is enhanced engagement through interactivities, which can be leveraged at any point during the learner's journey. And I think I mentioned the personalized learning paths earlier.
Right, yes.
So based on what the content is, what are the learning objectives we are looking for our learners to achieve, we can go ahead and select the formats. Because not every kind of format lends itself well to every kind of learning objective. So, and then we also ensure that there is a seamless learner experience when using these multiple formats in our blend. Ideally, I would say there should be a balance between synchronous and asynchronous elements, and each has their role. And these are the design decisions that we need to take right at the beginning before we get anywhere close to, you know, the actual implementation. I think you'd ask me for an example of a blended solution.
Right.
So
yes.
I'd like to share something that we had done for product training.
Mm-hmm.
We began with an assessment on the basic concepts. And those who did well in this assessment could go ahead and take up the self-study bit. But those who needed a little more assistance or a little more hand-holding were directed to the instructor-led classroom sessions.
Okay.
Once both these groups finished their learning, Both of them were put through a common challenge to assess whether there was any improvement in terms of the knowledge. And this was followed by giving them access to further learning resources, such as short product video demos, quizzes, infographics, and all of these were rolled out through a mobile app. And this proved to be a hugely popular solution. So this was just one example. Yeah.
So when we look at the role of AI in learning, could you share some practical tips on how we can use various tools in the support of L&D functions?
Yeah, sure, Shaina. We ourselves in our workplace, we've leveraged almost all of these tools very effectively.
Right,
and they are really amazing, and they can be used very easily. The first one, of course, I think we all are familiar with, the ChatGPT. It was kind of a game changer because it's so easy to use. And despite its limitations, I think a lot of us used it to tweak our content, to tweak our learning objectives, and to come up with scenarios for those learning interventions which work best with a scenario-driven approach. And then, of course, ChatGPT has its other counterparts which have come up now and which are perhaps even more powerful. And then when it comes to graphics, we have Midjourney, which creates graphics with custom prompts.
Yes.
So Canva, again, with custom prompts, it creates the kind of graphics we want. Now, the key here lies in the kind of prompts we use, whether we are using it for content or whether we are using it for graphics. The output is only as good as the input. And the input is, I think, we've all played around with various prompts and we've figured out by now what works. And then we have Stability AI, again, another AI-driven tool to generate and edit images, add textures, and generate videos, avatar-based AI videos, and now we have Synthesia, which does this, avatar-based AI videos, the talking heads, which have become very popular. And Synthesia has now come up with a wider variety of these avatars than when they first launched. And then Vyond continues to be a hot favorite among many for many reasons. It really generates AI-powered scripts and also videos. So that is something that Vyond Go is something that is very popular with our customers as well. And we have developed multiple videos using this.
Right.
And then we have, the AI-driven tool like QuizBot and Prep AI, which generate assessments and custom online quizzes and tests.
Right.
So a lot of, we can even specify the level, the Bloom's level at which we want them to write out these questions.
Oh, that's nice. Yes.
Yeah. So I think that takes out a lot of, the drudge factor also out of our L&D teams. However, I would like to add a very powerful disclaimer here. Although these are all great tools and AI driven, at the end of the day, we cannot do away with the human who is actually validating the output and making the required tweaks. Because, even though ChatGPT writes great content summaries, if we feed it enough text, we would still need to go and tweak it. So this is where, the human element really is indispensable.
Right.
To continue back, to the AI tools. We have Dectopus AI, which generates amazing presentations with custom prompts. Yeah. And we have Repurpose AI, which I think a lot of us use for social media, content. And so not just for social media, but we can even use this, to promote our upcoming trainings. Gain that traction, gain that momentum, get that, especially if there's some very important training coming up, we can use these AI-driven tools to generate short teaser videos, which will build up the anticipation among learners and make them more receptive, finally when the learning is rolled out.
Yes, interesting set of tools there.
And these are just a few, Shaina. Now, there are so many out there, but I've just collated a couple of them. In each broad bucket, there are so many others.
Right, yes. Some of them, like you said, are really popular in the L&D space.
Right, yes. Right.
So how do we use these AI tools at various points in our learning strategy? How do we integrate them?
Right. So, when we talk about upskilling and reskilling, we first need to identify needs, because that's where it all begins.
Absolutely.
And this is where we can use AI to really dive into what our employees need for them to be able to do their job well. So by looking at their job roles, their past trainings, their career path, along with changes in their job roles, if any, and market trends, you know, these AI-driven platforms can come up with the skills that the employee needs now and in the near future to be able to stay competitive. And we can also design these personalized learning paths with AI. And, we are familiar with how AI works in terms of giving course recommendations based on the profile of the learners and so on. And we also have the option of integrating AI into an existing LMS. This is really interesting because, you know, you don't have to overhaul the complete LMS as such, but you can have AI chatbots now available in an LMS and they give you recommendations and the learning paths. And there are some interesting things that can be done when we integrate AI. So we can also use AI to measure the success and the ROI. And, it can really seamlessly pull together valuable resources based even on, the skill gaps that have been identified or the future path the learner wants to take. And we can really harness AI to build those capability frameworks and make sure that, you know, whatever we do is helping our employees bridge that gap.
Right. Quite a bit, yes. So coming to a more granular level, can you tell us about how we can leverage different tools at different stages of the design and development process? Like we spoke about strategies. Now, next is obviously design and development. So how do we go about that?
Right. So I think I just I gave a generic list of those tools. Now I'd like to put them in the framework of our agile design and development process. Yeah. So, the step one where we are doing the part of content curation and learning objectives, this content creation and curation, should I say. So this is where ChatGPT Plus, Bing Chat Enterprise, Notion AI and Learnt AI are tools that we've been, we found to be of great use. In fact, they even come up with things like icebreakers, and some of these tools have capabilities beyond just, using them for content curation and learning objectives. For example, in the second step, which is where we do the course structure and storyboarding, Learnt AI can help with that. And then, with the structure, the writing out of the content, the icebreakers, and so on. And then we have QuizBot AI, which I mentioned earlier, to generate these quizzes based on the learning objectives that we give it and the content that we give it. And then we have Knowledge, this AI tool called Knowledge, EdApp, MidJourney, Canva, of course, for the graphic part of it. And then for the rapid development part of it, again, a lot of the success of our success depends on how quickly we are able to roll out these solutions to our learners. And especially, as I mentioned earlier, there's such an urgent and compelling need for upskilling and reskilling that, we can't really afford to go in for tools which take too long a time for development.
Yes.
So again, these are great tools here like MidJourney, Microsoft Designer, DID, Synthesia, Vyond. And then you have these text-to-speech tools, which do a great job. I'm sure all of us recall those days in the past when these text-to-speech tools sounded really very robotic and had no appeal. But now we have great tools which give fantastic voiceovers and so on. Speechify, Speech Studio, Well Said Labs.
Yes.
Now, one thing I'd like to mention here is, within this whole framework of our agile design and development, since the focus is on agile, we need to really pilot test and refine as needed and implement. For every kind of requirement, there are a basket of tools available. So that is something I think what I would like to you know, really reiterate is that AI is here to stay, and it's really going to be all pervasive. So it's going to enter each and every nook and corner of L&D, as well as, you know, other aspects of business.
Right.
So, Rina, I'd like to just kind of consolidate what I've shared today, because, you know, we've heard so much about tools and how AI can be used.
Right.
But how do we as L&D professionals, as e-learning champions, what is our role really? You know, obviously, not everybody of us can be hands-on with every tool. Not can every single team member, you know, be hands-on with every single tool. But that said, there are, I think the onus is on us to be informed about what is out there.
Right.
And as I mentioned earlier, you know, AI is not going to replace our jobs. But, you know, maybe I've heard this said very frequently, a human who knows how to use AI may do so. So yeah, the point is how do, the point is how do I as an L&D professional leverage these AI tools? You know, how can I use them as a personal assistant? Because a lot of these tools that we looked at today can help us design and develop faster creating solutions, including, you know, very quick micro-learning solutions. So as L&D professionals, I think we need to keep ourselves updated with what are the latest tools out there and, you know, train our teams on how to use them, ensure they have that both the resources to explore and the time to explore, and you know, ensuring that we give the right kind of prompts. These are simple things which we can, you know, perfect through practice. And then, of course, we need to be able to use multiple tools for the best output, and also, you know, to support the various formats in our blend. And one thing I would like to mention is we need to be perhaps a little careful when we are selecting a tool, because, of course, trial versions are out there for us to play around with and experiment with. But a lot of them are also in the beta version and they're evolving rapidly.
Right. Yes.
So I think, you know, we are at a time when as L&D professionals, we can no longer say that, hey, this is technology is not really my cup of tea. But, you know, it's our we need to really go up there and stay ahead of the game. And rapid e-learning design coupled with artificial intelligence will bring the next level of creativity to our industry.
Yes,
so I would like to end with that statement. And yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Absolutely. Leveraging AI is something we all should look forward to, especially when combined with rapid e-learning. That was so apt, Shalini. Thank you, Shalini. Yeah. For taking the time out. The insights and examples you have shared were very helpful. I'm sure most of our listeners have made note of it.
Thank you.
We look forward to having you again in the future. And yes, thank you to all listeners for listening to us so patiently. I hope this podcast was really beneficial for you. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated with our upcoming episodes. Thank you, and we'll see you in the next one.